Psalm 91. We're going to turn a little bit this evening. I didn't think we was going to until I skimmed through my notes. That's why we kind of turn every one of these points. It's a little bit of turning, but that's okay. This is a messianic psalm, as they all are. But this David wrote this. David had a life, and he had to live that life, and you have a life. And you have to live your life. We have to go through this world. We don't just sit in our home with our hands in a funny position and hum all day. Yes, Lord. No, we got to get up and go do things. Go grocery store. There's things that have to take. We got to deal with the phone company. We got to call AT&T sometimes, Bob. And we walk through this world and we have trouble. And we get distracted and we get discouraged. But the Lord's made promises to his people. He didn't make promises to everybody, but he made promises to his people, and that's who I want to talk to tonight. And I think this will bless his people. This is concerning us. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ, but this affects those that's in his hand. Verse 14. Psalm 91, verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, the Lord said, because my children, my sons and my daughters have set their love, I'm their love. On me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Lord, give us seven promises here. Seven points he has. I'm going to have 7 points as well. And then at the end, we'll look at who these 7 points are to, who these promises are to. It concerns somebody. If I make a promise, I can't promise something to a tree. I make a promise to people. And I was always raised to do best you could, keep your promises. Some say we'll go in the city. If the Lord willing, we will, but let's keep our word. I think that's appropriate to say to folks. These young people need to hear this. When you grow up, son, keep your word. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, do everything you can, your power to do it. If the Lord wills. We might do it, we might not, but the Lord's the one making these promises. And that's to somebody, it's us, his people. And they're sure promises. If he made a promise, it's a sure promise. It can't fail. Let's look at this first one there in verse 14. This will be a blessing to you. Because he has set his love upon me, the Lord speaking, therefore will I deliver him. Deliver him. The Lord is going to deliver his people. He's going to deliver us. Now, that's important. We need to be delivered. People talk about their Savior all the time. What's he saving you from? He's just helping you out of a bad situation, a predicament. Save from sin. Save from sin. The Lord's going to deliver us. Paul wrote there in Galatians 3, says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. We're under a curse. The Lord's going to deliver us from that curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us. He's delivered us. He's purchased us. He's went and got us and took us out from a curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That's how he did it. We're delivered. He took our place. We were weighed in the balances. He got on those balances and took that judgment that we rightly earned. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Are you a Gentile? Now, are you Gentile dogs? Well, I'm a Great Dane. I'm not a Chihuahua, I'm a Great Dane. Well, that don't matter, still a dog, ain't you? Gentile dogs, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Lord promised this. Paul's talking about that promise in Galatians 3 that was promised, in Psalm 91 that was promised before the world began. I guess if that's a timeline, I should have walked this way. But this is before time. This is good if we need delivered, don't it? Don't that make us have joy? We talked about having joy this morning, didn't we? You ever been happy? You ever had joy? This is joy. He delivered us from the law. He said, therefore will I deliver him. We're delivered from death. David told us in Psalm 56, thou hast delivered my soul from death. If God would teach us the value of our soul. This ain't picking the right car brand that's going to get us till we die. This ain't picking the right washing machine that won't break down in 2 years. This is a soul. This ain't life and death, buddy. This is eternal life and death. You get that? This ain't getting through high school, children. This is that something that never ends. This is eternal. And the Lord's delivered us from death. David said, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? Now, if he's kept us, and he gave his son's blood for us, you reckon he'll get us through a Tuesday? You think he can get me through that dentist appointment? Can I pay my taxes? I don't know if the Lord can handle that. I think he can. Ain't nothing he can't handle. And if he's done all that for us, how can he not through his son freely give us all things? He's already gave us him, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. He ain't going to have, David said, I've been young and I'm now old and I've never seen the Lord's people begging bread. I've seen a lot of people begging bread. Well, he wasn't talking about a lot of people. He was talking about the Lord's people. It ain't happened. Why? The Lord wouldn't embarrass himself that way. He said, he ain't going to provide for his own, be mocked like that. It ain't happened. The Lord's delivered my soul. He'll deliver my feet. He'll deliver my belly. He'll deliver every bit of it. He will. And from the power of darkness, not just the prince of darkness. Don't trifle with Satan. I have to tell these young people this. You old people already know or you already did it, and I can't do nothing about that, but somebody's got to tell you. Leave them Ouija boards alone. My pastor told me that in 1993. I'll tell it to you in 24. Don't fool with Satan. Don't fool with them dark arts things and curious arts and all that. Leave it alone. But we ain't no match for him. But the Lord's delivered us from the power of darkness. Not just the prince of darkness, but the power of darkness. All of it. The influence, the entertainment of it, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, you heard Don say it, and you've heard me say it, you heard Clay say it. Remember who you are and whose you are. The Lord's translated us. He's bought us with the price. We're his children. That fella cut me off in traffic. I want to pop out and have a talk with him. Well, hold on now. What's my last name? Well, if it's Thacker, I may bring reproach on Paul and Sue. But if it's the Lord our righteousness, I don't want to bring reproach on the Lord our righteousness. The Lord's delivered us from these things. I ain't got no fight in it. The war's over. Sin hath no more dominion over us. Well, ain't that good? That's what Paul asked, wasn't it? Didn't he want to be delivered? He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, that's all it is, this death. And he immediately said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's who. The Lord said, I will deliver them. Sin has no more dominion over us. Why? He said in Romans 6, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, you're under grace. Can you imagine that? The Lord's took us. We's going to die. He delivered us from death. Satan's got us. He delivered us from Satan. We got us. He delivered me from me. The law, I can't do nothing for it. He's delivered us. And he took us out of that law, and he put us right in a big old green pasture of grace. Grace is what put us in grace. He was gracious to be gracious to us. You can wear that word out in as many sentences as you can, and he said, I'll deliver him. He promised. Now I ask you, will he make good on his promises? I'll be there Thursday. You'll take off in the morning from an airplane. You might not. Delta's in trouble, ain't they? I booked Delta 2 months ago. I didn't know that. Lord said, I'll deliver you. Do you think you'll be delivered? You believe him? He said so, didn't he? Let's look at this second one, verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Who's doing the work there? Lord said, I will. He's the one doing. Not us. He's doing it. He's going to set us on high. Not just free, but on high. You think about it. Like, all right, you ain't in prison no more, but don't sit too close to me. We'll look at felons here in a minute. you're not under that stuff anymore, but now you got a lot of learning to do. He set us on high. Where did he set us at? One place, he set us at his table. At his table. We get to eat at his table, Bob. I've had a general's mess and a captain's mess on the USS Sullivan's. I got to sit down, I got to eat with the captain of the ship. And I got to sit down and eat with these big generals. That's something. That's the first time I ever had creme brulee. Fancy. I never seen nothing like that. God says, I'm going to set him on high. Is that good enough for you? At that wedding feast, he's going to set us down. We're going to show up to glory. We're going to cry for about 30 minutes. And then after that, no more tears. We'll be silenced for 30 minutes. He's going to hug us and he's going to dry up all of our tears. There'll be tears involved. And then we're going to sit down at that wedding feast and he's going to serve us. He's going to walk around and say, here's your glass of wine. He said, I ain't going to drink of this fruit till you're with me. Here's some wine. Have some bread. Ain't nothing in it. It's going to bother us. My hands ain't going to swell in the morning. Be fine. He's going to feed us. Set us on high. And another place we're set right now. In this life, if we're his children, we're gathered together. It's like the beginning of this psalm says, like biddies underneath a hen, underneath his wings. Well, they ain't scattered all abroad, are they? No, they get picked off by hawks. They're underneath the wings. That's where we find solace. And we're at his feet. That's where it's underneath wings, isn't it? Feet. What happened to Mary and Martha? Martha's working and working and working and working and working. And the Lord, she said, why don't you make my sister get up and help me? You know how much I'm doing? Shouldn't I'll be burdened and she be eased. And the Lord said, she's chosen the good part. And it ain't going to be taken away from her. If we're brought to his feet, we're going to cling to his feet. And it ain't going to be taken away from us. And we ain't going to want to leave. We want to stay right there where his feet are. Set on high. Man, here's point number three. Another promise. Keeps getting better. He's delivered us and he set us on high. We come out of that dung heap. He's put us at the finest table right by his feet. Verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Don't let that become old hat. Let's not take these things for granted. We can call on the Lord, the Almighty. That thief did. Didn't we see that Sunday? The thief was on the cross right when that hour, this hour, was taking place. Whoa, you talk about busy. We don't understand those things. And he said, Lord, remember me. And he said, you'll be with me in paradise today, buddy. You'll be right there with me. Be right there with me. He hears us and he answers us. Look here in Isaiah 65 to the right a little bit. Isaiah 65. Verse 23. Isaiah 65:23. You ever feel like you done something and you gave it all you had that was just didn't, you couldn't get it right? Whether it's working on an engine. Like you try to get that bolt in there. And you say, well, I'm going to take a break. And you walk around the block a little bit. And then you go, all right, I'm going to do it this time. And you're just trying and trying and trying. And it ain't going nowhere. You ain't making no progress. Verse 23. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. They are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The Lord said in another place, he said, I'm going to perform all this. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do everything, but you're going to inquire of me. You're going to ask me to do it. And so he's saying here that he answers us. He hears us and he answers us. But before we even call, he's answered. What was the answer? He made us call on him. He made us call on him. Cry out, Lord. Didn't that what? We read that in Exodus? Prayer scripture with scripture. He said, I've heard them by reason of their taskmasters. Oh, don't you want rid of those taskmasters? Don't you want those burdens of daily life to go away? Don't you want family trouble to stop? Lord said, because I sent those, they called to me and I answered them. And I've heard them while they're yet speaking. Done. Father, I need. Done. If we need it, he'll give it one. Back in our text, there in Psalm 91, verse 15. Here's the fourth one. He's delivered us. He sat us in high places. He hears us and answers us when we talk to him. No man's ever looked on his face and lived. And he said, tell me what you want. Christ came, the Godhead in a body, and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. He said, okay, sit down. I'll teach you. If the Lord does this work and somebody, if he delivers them, he'll make them teachable. They'll have two ears, one mouth. Said two mouths, one ear, won't they? He'll do that, but it keeps getting better. He shall call upon me, verse 15, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. In trouble. We're going to have trouble. Did you know that? There's people I've met in this world that, not that they have a good attitude. There's some believers I know that have a really good attitude, and you can't get them down. And on the outside looking in, their life's miserable. And I pray for them. I feel so sorry for them. I can't stand it. But you talk to them, and you can't get them down. They have joy. They're happy because the Lord's done these things for them, and he's answered them, and they're in trouble, and he's with them in trouble. He ain't with everybody in trouble. He's with them in trouble. Some people's left themselves in trouble. He said, I'm with them. Paul told Timothy, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he'll also deny us. Boy, that's trouble. Have you ever denied the Lord? I have. To a great and mighty warrior? No, to a teenage girl. I ain't no different than Peter. Peter ain't no different than me. I read that and I thought, oh, I haven't suffered nothing with him. I ain't suffered nothing like the Lord has. Peter and John were so happy when they gave him 40 stripes, save one. They rejoiced on the way home. If I deny him, he'll deny me. Oh. And he's told him in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, if we have unbelief, yet he abideth faithful. And I have no faith. He said, why ain't you got no faith? Why you have such little faith? Yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. We're one. That body's, if you're part of the body. Now, if you're a flower pot on the front porch, you ain't part of that body. If you're a scaffolding, you ain't part of that body. But if you're part of that body, he can't deny himself. He provides for it. We're in trouble. We may not have enough sense to be with him in times of trouble, but he's with us. He's with us. Or in Job 14, it says, man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Just like a vapor, just like a shadow. Ain't much substance in a shadow, is there? That's us. That's a lot of trouble. What kind of trouble are we going to have? Now, we'll have aches and pains just like everybody else has, but the believer, the child of God, this is who that's talking to, who this promise is to. Turn over to John 15. I'm sure this kind of trouble believers will have. It's different than the kind of trouble everybody else in the world has. And we need comfort. We need to remember these promises when this trouble comes. John 15. Lord said, lo, I'm with you always. Didn't he? John 15, verse 18. If the world is mildly displeased with you, that ain't what it says. If the world hate you, if it gnashes their teeth at you and says, stop it! Just like it did with Stephen. Oh, I get so mad. I got family members right now mad at me because of this. They hate you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. If they persecuted you, me, they're going to persecute you. Now, if you go preach to them and they listen and they hear what you have to say, they'll hear what I have to say. They'll believe the truth because God said so. Thus saith the Lord, good enough for me. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Oh, I want to serve the Lord. Well, we do. It don't shine up as a new penny, does it? It doesn't look like it. I'm delivering Porsches for the Lord. No, you're going to be hated and persecuted. might be drug out by the hair of her head and her head's chopped off and put on pikes out in front of the place. Maybe crucified upside down. Maybe cast to an island to be all alone until we just die of starvation. So it happened to a lot of the apostles, wasn't it? They were murdered and killed. But this is for the Lord's name's sake. Verse 21, but all these things though they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They're going to do it because they don't know God. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Lord said, they're going to be angry. Why? Because sin's revealed. You ever seen somebody that's guilty? What do they just say? Oh, I'm guilty. Is that us by human nature? They get angry. And they'll go through a Rolodex in their head, everything bad you've ever done in your entire life, and tell you all about how bad you are when they are feeling guilty. Lord's saying this right here. He said they're facing sin. But that's what they are. Remember what them Pharisees said? You calling us sinners? You saying we don't know? You saying we ain't educated? We can't read and we're born of sin? Conceived in adultery? He says, if you was sin, you wouldn't have any. If that was the case. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Every bit of that, the Lord's saying, this is fulfilling the scriptures. They hated me without a cause. It's so. Still being fulfilled in this day. Nothing's changed. Verse 26, but when the comforters come. That's trouble, isn't it? That's trouble. You tell people what God says, your family members, your loved ones, your friends, your co-workers, whatever it is. And they go, no. No. And they hate you for it because the Lord ain't there for them to beat up on those stones at. And you feel alone. That's trouble. Verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. We'll remember the sufferings of Christ during that time. We'll remember the trouble that he went through for us. And ye also shall bear witness. You're going to tell about him again. Because ye have been with me from the beginning. That's taking somebody out of trouble, isn't it? Leave a marker there in John. We'll be going to John 5 here in a second. But look back at our text, Psalm 91. This is precious. Psalm 91, verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Didn't he say that already? We need to hear it twice, don't we? We need to hear it more every day. Lord will deliver his people. I can't. If I had an option, I probably wouldn't. He will and he can. I will deliver him and honor him. And honor him. You think about a felon being set free in our country. Someone commits a heinous crime on a federal level, they're found guilty and they're put in a federal prison and they go to jail. They go to prison. And they serve their time or they get paroled or whatever and they come out of that prison. You're free. You ain't under that bondage no more. You ain't got to listen to that warden no more. You ain't got to live with those prisoners no more. You're free. You're out of that prison. But you know what? You can't vote. You can't serve as a juror. Some people, that might be a good idea. I wouldn't go to prison to get out of jury duty, but you can't serve as a juror. You can't possess firearms. You can't buy body armor. Some states you can't drive, depending on what the felony is. Depending on the state, you can't hold public office or the level of it, apparently. And you can't travel abroad. We traveled abroad. They ask you, you committed any felonies? Well, if you say, yeah, I committed a felony, you can't come here. Better pick another place to visit. You ain't coming this. You ain't going to Australia. And that's a penal colony. They won't let you in. That ain't honored, is it? We might set them free, but don't set close too close to me. We might say, oh, well, that's all right. They're saved. But yeah, hold on now. There's some limitations to that. We say that. The Lord eats with them. He receives sinners and eats with them. And he says, sit down, I'll bring food to you. What a thought. Hannah prayed. This woman that gave birth to Samuel. And at the right time, she took him, turned him over to the Lord. She prayed in 1 Samuel 2, said, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth the beggar from the dunghill." That's getting us out of that prison. That's, we're felons. That's getting us out of there, right? Two, I did it for something. To set them among princes and to make them inherit a throne of glory. Make us children. He honors us. You talk about honor. It ain't just that, well, you can live out there in the hog pen and keep watch of the dogs in glory. No, he brought us out of that dunghill. Took us out of that dust pit, and he set us among princes. That's why he did it. That's a promise. John 5. Verse 22, John 5, 22. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." What's the reason for that judgment? Speeding tickets? You did 56 and the 55? No, it's more serious than that. Man born of Adam don't think so, but this is it. "That all men should honor the Son." Now, the Lord's promised he's going to honor us. How? "And all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life," unto life. It's not pulled out of that dunghill, took out of that miry pit to set us among princes, to no condemnation, to have everlasting life. You went from death unto life. What an honor, isn't it? What an honor. Down in verse 44, it says, "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Mankind by nature wants honor, wants accolades and titles and all these things. I do. I don't want people to disrespect me or my family. I want them to honor me and my family. But we're more concerned about what our shiny little garments have instead of honoring God. Ain't that right? We might look bad. What about making God look bad? If we know better, do we want to willfully sin against God? I don't. All the things that I do want to do, I don't do. And all the things I don't want to do, I do. Who will deliver me? He told us twice. He will. He will. Told us twice. Didn't? Sixth one. There in Psalm 91. "With long life," verse 16, Psalm 91, 16. "With long life will I satisfy him." We're going to be real healthy and we're going to live to a ripe old age. That wouldn't do us no good. I got to think about that a lot. Would you be satisfied with a really long life on this earth? I just imagine we'd regret that. I really do. If you got three wishes out of a genie's lamp or something, y'all want to live to 200, you may change your mind. We see what sin does to this body, don't we? This body ages and there's pain increases. And then if it was physically, it was okay, doesn't sorrow increase? More people had a 20-year reunion for my first deployment this week in Kansas. A bunch of friends got a hold of me and a bunch of guys were there, and it's reliving a bunch of memories I don't want to relive. A bunch of them ain't there. If we have a 40-year reunion, guess what? Fewer's going to be there. And that's family members and loved ones and everything else. It keeps getting less and less and less and less, and everybody you know is dead. And all your animals and all your everything. Your favorite car rusted out. Imagine being 114 years old. That ain't what he's speaking of. The Lord does honor. If we do live to an old age, that's the Lord doing that. That's the first commandment with promise, Paul said. Children. He's talking to children. Somebody's got to tell his children. He told them again. Moses already told them. He said, "Honor your mother and father." He said, "This is the first commandment with promise." There's a promise attached to that. Lord gave that. That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live a long life on earth. He's talking about earthly things too. On this earth, brush your teeth. Mommy and daddy says brush your teeth. Brush your teeth. You ain't got to be a rocket scientist to figure out you're going to have dental problems when you get older if you don't brush your teeth. Now brush your teeth. You have a better life and you'll be longer on this earth. But does that really satisfy? It says there, with long life will I satisfy him. That ain't too satisfying, is it? This speaks of eternal life. That's what satisfies. That's what we need. Does that satisfy you? Have eternal life? Be made like Christ? We looked at Isaiah 65, but it was speaking of that new heaven and new earth. And it says, there shall no more thence be an infant of old days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. We ain't going to have these problems. The length won't matter. If there's the infants or old or whatever, that don't make a difference. They ask the Lord about a woman who married seven brothers, this hypothetical situation. For that resurrection, whose wife is she going to be of the seven? And he said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. They're not going to be angels, but they're like them. They ain't getting married to nobody. Christ is our husband. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which is spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but the living. The living. That's a long life. That's a life that satisfies. If you can be satisfied, that's the kind of life that will satisfy you, the one that he gives. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. He told the truth. What an interesting doctrine he has. I want that life. Don't you? Or do we want to have our doctrine right? They just comment on some doctrine. I want to comment on that one who is life. Be with him. That's a long life. It's the length of anything we can comprehend. And it's not just the quantity of life, the quantity of it, it's the quality of it. It's being made holy. Being made like Christ. And being with him. Being eternal and being with him. I like being with my wife. We went to go do some things the other day, and she said, thank you for going with me. And I said, I like being with you. I do. I'd rather, she's my favorite person. If I have to hang out with somebody on this earth, I prefer, she's number one. I like other people. I like you all fine. I ain't gonna lie to you. That's my preferred one. Does that satisfy if the Lord gives us a life with Christ for eternity? He said, I'm going to give them a long life. And they'll be satisfied with it. And if he says we're going to be satisfied with it, what do you think we're going to be? Will we have joy with that? Or we say, well, that's an interesting doctrine. We'll have joy with it. Period. He gives it. Verse 16. Psalm 91, 16. With long life will I satisfy him. And the six is pretty good, isn't it? Look at seven. And show him my salvation. What's the Lord's salvation? Give me 3,000 words on that by Saturday. Who's the Lord's salvation? Salvation's a person. A person. I hope I never get tired of saying that. It's a person. I'm a person. And salvation isn't just a verb. It's a noun. It's a person. It is. Look here in Luke 2. I love this. This just... Simeon's an old man, walked with the Lord a long time. But the Lord promised him something. I thought about the names of the Lord. We say, well, there's seven names of Jehovah. The Lord's got a lot of names. Didn't he say his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father? Well, that's a bunch of them right there, isn't it? He's got a lot of names. The Lord made promises to his people, made a lot of promises. And he can keep them all. Luke 2, I lost myself there. Luke 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's the same thing Paul told the church at Thessalonica, wasn't it? I know you believe God. I'm not a fool. I saw the power of God work in you. And you're waiting on his coming, ain't you? He's our righteousness. He's our holiness. He's our sanctification, our redemption. He's everything, our wisdom. And we're waiting on him to come. And this right here is exactly what Simeon was doing. Ain't no different. He was a just man, devout. He was committed. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. This is a man filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, who's it talking about? It didn't say till you see salvation. He said the Lord's Christ. Till you see him, you ain't going to physically die. And so Simeon was just sitting there waiting. Lord said he's going to do something. Do you believe him? Yes. Well, I wait on him. I wait on him. Now, he's a God of means, isn't he? He is. Lord said he'd provide. You know the Lord's going to provide, and I know the Lord's going to provide. Now, let's ask the Lord to grow us in grace a little bit, and let's go step two. How's he going to do it? He's a God of means. Magic fairy dust ain't going to sprinkle down and do something. No, the Lord's going to use means to do that. Now, Mary and Joseph brought the Lord Jesus Christ to this place. That's the means God used. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, this was the custom to do, they brought him by the temple, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, just like you said, Lord, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What was he waiting on? The Lord's Christ. He's holding this baby. He says, you kill me now, Lord. I've seen your salvation. That infant in his hands, that person, is salvation. The Lord said, I'm going to show my people that. He ain't going to show everybody that. And you can't make them see it. You can get calipers or cranks and pop their eyes open and put all the video screens you want or whatever. People can't see that. They're blind. They're blind unless the Lord gives them eyes. And he said, my people, I promise, you're going to see my salvation. You're going to see Christ high and lifted up. Hold that thing. Yes, Lord. I can go home now. I've seen it, just like you said. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. It's light shining on the Gentiles. It's like seed being broadcast. Some see, some don't see. Some grow, some don't grow. But this is the glory of your people. What's your glory? Him. Him. And you're going to see that. You're going to see that. Now, who's these promises to? That's seven promises the Lord made. He declared he will do this. I'm going to do it. Hide and watch him. It's going to happen. Who's this to? This ain't for everybody. This ain't for everybody. This ain't universal and just, well, put your bumper sticker on, say God loves you, and then go to baseball practice all day Sunday. Do what you want. No. No, this is to a people. To a people. Look here back in our text, Psalm 91. Peter told us that this is for a people. He said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We are. These are exceeding and great, precious promises. Is that precious to us? What time's the game come on? Is the football game on? Who cares? It don't matter. This is precious. Not that being precious. He is precious. That's what Peter said. Well, one, that ain't in our text. It's to those that find him precious. If you can do something else, do that. But if you find him precious, you're going to be where he is. That's your desire. He's all your hope, all your joy. Verse 14, Psalm 91. Because he hath set his love upon me. It says he, but that's men and women. It's a body of Christ. We set our love upon him. Therefore I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he hath known my name, he shall call upon me. And I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him, and I'll honor him. Who is it that these promises are to? Those that set their love upon the Lord. Paul said, don't you know yourself? Don't you know if the Spirit of God's in you or not? Do I know if I love my children? Well, give me 3 weeks to really consider these things. I love them. I love them. They may not think so sometimes. I may not think so sometimes, but I love them, don't I? I know these things. You love the Lord? You love him? Do you have to have him above all things? Now, why? If we love him, why? He first loved us. How could you not fall in love with him? I mean, I'm a matchmaker. I'm telling people, I want to be like Eleazar. I just want to tell the bride, ain't everybody going to get married to him. A lot of people, I'm already married. They ain't got no interest. I'm just going to keep telling about this great son of Abraham. Oh, let me tell you about him. He's wonderful. And then whenever we get there, get close enough, it's in eyesight. That bride's going to hop off that camel and get down low and say, who's that? That's him. That's him. We love him. Why? We in love? Because he first loved us. And it said, those that know my name, because he hath known my name. That's not just the seven names of Jehovah. That's all of his names, isn't it? Is he wonderful? Wonderful. Wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, our banner, Jehovah Nisi. Is he? I was a guide on bear. That's a fellow that carries a little tiny stick with a flag on top. That thing means things. When you do up and which way you do it, there's something going on. Is he what we lift up high and that commands the armies of heaven? Do we know him? If we know him, not just factually know some names, do we love him? I love all his names. I wouldn't have him any other way. He's perfect. He's perfect. You will pick a spouse. This is the perfect spouse. And shall call upon me. Verse 15 says, he shall call upon me. All those that call upon him. He said, you ask me, I'll give you life. You want water? Water that you'll never thirst again? You'd ask me, I'll give it. And we do. We call on him. And when we call to him, as he answers us, he answers before we even speak, and he hears while we're just in the middle of talking. I need life, Lord. Save, Lord. Two words. Save, Lord. Already done. I done heard you. It's done. And we call upon him. Shall call upon him. Shall call upon him. That means it's going to happen. You know what else that means? There's no decision to be made. Make a decision for Jesus. It's done been made. You just ain't been revealed yet. That's probably the problem. It's done. And we'll call on him when he does those things. Those are precious promises, isn't it? I tell you what, if you find him precious, you'll find his promise precious, his promises precious, and you'll find those that's in him precious too. We'll need them, won't we? All right, Brother Mike.